Lois Ann Yamanaka broke through barriers with her book, Saturday Night at the Pahala Theater. It was one of 50 essential books recently chosen by Honolulu Magazine. Yamanaka and other authors will read their works as part of a gala event to mark the 40th anniversary of Bamboo Ridge Press on October 20th. The theme this year, not POW yet.
Bamboo Ridge Press has a place in my heart forever because I didn't know that I counted. And what it allowed me to see was that in literature, I saw myself. And Daryl Lum once said, and he was one of the founding editors, he's going to laugh, founding editor. Daryl once said in a keynote, and it really stuck to me, that until you see yourself in literature, you don't exist. And that's such a powerful statement because I said, yeah, that's right. The only time I saw myself or a facsimile of myself was in Ruth Tabra's work. And her setting was Kohala, a Kohala plantation. And her characters had names that sounded like names that I grew up with. And I read the book over and over and over and over because there was nothing that was me. You know, I mean, we watched Flower Drum Song and we watched The World of Susie Wong, but we knew who was Japanese, we knew who was Chinese, we knew that Jack Su was actually Jack Suzuki, and we watched the Hawaiians, and basically the Asian American or the Asian characters were given monosyllabic lines like "hey."
So, yes,
you know, so it was kind of like we grew up seeing a false image of ourselves. It makes you invisible. But Bamboo Ridge gave us a way to see ourselves, in words, and to see our families and hear our language and hear the way that our culture and our practices and everything that we were in the stories that and poetry that appeared in those issues. It's amazing. I still find them to be relevant. I still find them to be poignant. And I still enjoy reading them, you know, to kids in this generation and seeing their reaction. This book was important for me, and it was important that somebody, Bamboo Ridge, Eric Chalk, was willing to give me a shot, you know.
It really gave you a voice.
It really gave me a voice, and not only that, I felt like I finally had the permission to be who I was, you know, like, and not try to be someone that I am not. Like, giving this interview with you, I feel like I'm somebody I'm not, because I have a hard time sustaining standard English as a way of communicating with other people. So I get stuck. So I can go for a little while in an interview like this, or if I'm sitting on a panel, but there are questions that are asked of me that I cannot but answer in pidgin. So I ask, you know, my the people that are listening to just kind of humor me a little bit and let me answer in pidgin, and then if you don't get it, I will try to translate it into English, because if not, I cannot get to the essence of what I'm trying to say. So this is me trying to be the what you call that, the TV me. No, the TVS me.
You know, I guess looking back, I mean, were there writers who influenced you to break out like you did?
You know, when I was writing Saturday Night at the Pahala Theater, I didn't know I was writing Saturday Night at the Pahala Theater. I was just writing a whole lot of poems because my teacher, Faye Kitnoswe, said, who do you think you are? I said, I don't know. And she said, you're just someone on the tail end of voices of women and then who have been writing in voice, and it's been going on for decades. You are just one voice. You are another voice on the tail end. So, like, in essence, so what's your problem? And my problem was that it was really linked to self-esteem and self-doubt and inadequacy, and you're only going to be blue-collar workers. Our teachers told us, you know, you're not going to get off the rock, and all of these kinds of negative voices that were just locked in cell memory, that if I didn't speak standard English, I would not get ahead in life. You know, that I would be nothing.
Wow.
And so, but I couldn't speak standard English. You know, I tried, but it was like a game to me. It was like pretend talk holy. And I would play that game with my sisters. And we would have a lot of fun, but it wasn't something that was natural to us. So I forgot what the question was.
Well, I was just asking if there were, you know, any authors or other writers that influenced you.
Oh, so Darryl Lum. He rocked my world. And I was like, oh my goodness. And other writers were black women writers who were writing in voice. Because what Faye did was she introduced me to a number of different women. And Eric Chalk calls it the giving voice. And this is the voice that is natural to the speaker, the persona of the poem. And this giving voice I heard in my students when he used to come to do poets in the schools, artists in the schools. He never got a day of health insurance. They were so awful to the artists, the Department of Education. But he came every year. We had him in residency at Kalakaua Intermediate School for, you know, for our kids. And at that time, they were tracking us. So we had the X, Y, Z sections. So from GT to Z, kids received work time with the poet in the school, who was Eric Chalk. And they were writing the most incredible, heartfelt poems in pidgin, and it just, because he said, just write the way you talk. And it was so heartfelt, because what I discovered was language and emotion or feelings and experience are like skin and flesh. One without the other, you don't write a poem, you write words on paper. So it was so important that they keep the integrity of language and express it that way. You know, that some kids wrote poems that made me cry for the first time, you know, like that somebody's work touched me in such a way that I would get goosebumps and laugh out loud. And that never happened to me in all of my years as a student. All of my years in middle school, high school, college, undergrad, graduate school, until I read my students' work.
Wow.
And I read the work of the black and Latina women. And Faye also introduced me to Jessica Hagedorn, so Filipino-American works. And I was just shocked. When she read Howl out loud in our first poetry workshop by Allen Ginsberg, I was like, you gonna say that in poetry?
So it gave you permission then. It gave you permission.
Yeah, it gave me permission to be me and not be ashamed of who I am or how I will say it.
So is there any, I don't know, is there one word that you would use to describe what Bamboo Ridge Press did for you?
I think the word phenomenal. They are phenomenal in what they've not only done for me, but for generations of writers. They've given us a voice. They've given us a face in literature. And we exist. Because everybody thought that, everybody thought that we were so locked in with this pigeon, nobody would get us. But my feeling was, the shores hit our shores. But there's another shore where it hits too. It's two ways. And so when you see it that way, the audience is not just us. And people think it limits us. It shows that we're ignorant, we're stupid. But it doesn't. It's just another dialect milieu of dialogues. I mean, of dialects across the country, across the world. You know, we're just another voice, because the universality of the human experience arises out of voice, no matter how you say it. That's what I found out when I started writing using voice.
Okay, so we're going to ask you to use your voice and read something from your book.
Okay. I'm going to read a poem that has scared my family because I guess I need to write more about them, because this poem was written after my sister made me angry, and she had been living with me. And it's called Boss of the Food. So it goes like this. Before time, every time my sister like be boss of the food, we sit shopping in Mizuno Super 8, and my mother pull the Oreos off the shelf, and my sister already sing, Mama, can be the boss of the Oreos. The worst was when she was the boss of the sunflower seeds. She gives me and my other sisters one seed at a time. We no could eat the meat. I said to put them all on Kleenex. Then, when we take all the meat out of the shelves and our list, they all cho-cho, she give us the seeds one at a time. Because my sister, she the boss of the sunflower seeds. One time, my sister was boss of the raisinettes. I was riding in the back of my grandpa's Bronco down Conococai Wharf. There she was, having us one seed raisinette at a time. My mother was all watery, because I like eat them all in time. So I told her, give me that bag, and I went grab them. She said, Uncle Mommy. And I said, go, you bird killer. Tell them, Mommy. She went, let go of the bag. And I went start eating the raisinette all one time. But when I went look at her, I felt kind of bad, because I went call her bird killer. She was boss of the parakeet, too, and she's supposed to cover the cage every night. But one time, she didn't forget. When I soon wake up, the bugger was on its back, legs in the air, all stiff. The bugger was cold. And I guess the thing that made me feel bad was, I never think calling her bird killer would make her feel so bad that she let go of the bag raisinette. But I never give her back the bag. I feel like, what the heck? I ain't gonna suffer eating one raisinette at a time. They beg her for one more. And I mean one more. Candy.
That was Lois Ann Yamanaka reading from her book, Saturday Night at the Pahala Theater. She tells us she doesn't know what she'll choose to read for the gala. She may wait to check out the audience and decide on the spot. Yamanaka has a new book that's being shopped around now. It's a little different than what you might be familiar with. Up the Rabbit Hole shows the author's side as a Christian writer. She says it's a nod to her grandmother, who was raised Southern Baptist. For links to the Bamboo Ridge Press Gala, check our webpage at hawaiipublicradio.org.